The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
All right, guys, you're listening to the High Spot Podcast. I am Jeff Martin alongside my tag team partner, the trendsetter, Brian Berger. We've got a great show for you today. You follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast. Alicia Atoute joins us today from Impact Wrestling and Ambi. Trendsetter, so much in the news. I guess we got to start with AE freaking W. What's going on, man?
What's going on, Jeff, is what was once a fantasy is now a reality. AEW now exists. It is real. Mark this date in your calendars, guys, the moment you saw this press conference, because it was history in the making. You know, a lot of first times happened for us in 2018, and this is another first time in the world of professional wrestling in 2019, just the early stages of 2019, and we've been a part of it. You guys, the crew, have been a part of it. What a great time right now. What so much to look forward to in the next coming months. A lot more news and a lot more stories to be told leading to Double or Nothing. It's going to happen, folks, on May 25th, Saturday in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand.
I cannot wait. The MGM Grand. That's why I had to go over you there, Trendsetter, because the MGM Grand is a place I've always wanted to go to. It's always been a great site for boxing and
UFC.
And, you know, I...
You think of big-time fights, big-time matches.
In Vegas.
In Vegas is the MGM Grand.
So, yeah, looking forward to that, Trendsetter.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
So much to get into. The
I want
excitement.
That Coke.
I know. I remember... I'm going to remember one moment, Trendsetter, watching this with you and then getting that... the chill, the goosebumps, because once Chris Jericho came out, wow, you know, we're worried about Kenny Omega, we're worried about who else is going to be on the roster, and we kind of, in the forefront, kind of in the back burner, we put Chris Jericho, you know, to the side, not thinking that he was going to be a huge part of this, and he is, Trendsetter. That really makes this, it really seals the stamp that this is going to be something big.
Well, what it does for me, and I'm sure a lot of people are watching it, Jeff, it really just showcases the fact that there's a lot of legitimacy behind it. I mean, this isn't just something they're doing for, pardon my language here, shits and giggles. They're 100% serious and committed to what they're doing here. Now, a lot of things goes in terms of a lot of momentum is going to be built for this. So, of course, you're going to have a following for it. But the thing is, it's a long-term thing for them now. So now we're going to showcase the fact that it's easy to set for an event that's months in advance and you build up for it and then it's over. And then you're like, okay, what's next? Now this is long-term with Chris Jericho and all the people involved, not just Jericho, the Young Bucks, Cody. The vision they have for this is something that, you know, I think a lot of wrestling fans, Jeff, would say that are listening to the show, the High Spot Podcast, or just watch wrestling in general, have been waiting for an outlet. There's so many more options to choose from now. There's no question about that. But now in terms of the type of wrestling that we want to see, I think when you look at All Elite Wrestling, that's the product they hope to present to the audience.
I'm going
to
let Chris Jericho take my term, because I always said that Kenny Omega, when he makes a decision, it's going to be he either chooses to change the world or the universe. And at the end, you heard Chris Jericho say, changing the universe. I love it. It makes so much sense. Listen, if you're the WWE right now, listen, you're the machine. You are right now the standard bearer, but you need to take a double take here, because what they're doing is they're appealing to the fan that feels like they're left out, that they don't want that sports entertainment. They want that pure wrestling. Now, WWE is on a whole different stratosphere, but if you're the WWE right now, you have to look at this and be like, huh, they're appealing to something that we're not doing. And credit to the Young Bucks, credit to Cody, credit to Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega, who I still believe at the end of the day will be in AEW. Credit them, because they know what the wrestling fan wants, and AEW is going to give it to them.
Well, in terms of WWE, Jeff, I think they've noticed what's going on. But I don't think it's on the radar yet, because, again, it's still a brand new promotion. It's going to gain a lot of momentum. It's going to gain a lot of notoriety. Talking about, for example, is WWE listening to it? Well, I think when it comes to storylines that they're portraying now from the Royal Rumble leading into WrestleMania, when you had Triple H, Stephanie, Shane, and Vince show up on TV, when was the last time you saw Vince on TV, right? Talking about, we're actually going to listen to you, the fans now. You fans are going to be the authority. I think they're taking that story from True Facts, where they do recognize, and they do see the fact that the fans feel like they're being slighted. They're paying good money because they want to see something that they want, and not just be dictated what they want to see. So in that sense, yes, I think they're paying attention to it, but I don't think it's still on their radar. They're not worried about it because they're not in direct competition with AEW right now. AEW has a lot more to go and a lot more to do before we can even think about talking about them competing with WWE.
Now, when you put in a venue like Vegas, and it's going to be more than the 10,000-seat arena, 18,000-seat arena, now you're in the big time.
I'm sure
there
could be 20 in there, maybe.
Sure. Now you're in the big time. And when you're coding the Young Bucks, you're brand new at this. You want to surround yourself with people. So this is what we do know. All right? Cody, the Young Bucks, there for 5 years. Hangman Page is definitely a bright spot for AEW. We just saw the signing of Joey Janela and MJF and Penelope Ford and Britt Baker. They're on the roster. SCU is on the roster. So you have Frankie Kazarian, Christopher Daniels, and Scorpio Sky. They're on board. Chris Jericho is on board. And we found out that Pac Neville is going to be part of AEW. That's big time.
It's huge because it's building the foundation. Now, if we look at, for example, if we're breaking down each individual signing, you could definitely tell that these guys are towards the prime of their careers or reaching the prime. And, you know, 5 years down the road, who knows what happens here? You hope they're still within the company. But I think it builds a good foundation because, like I've mentioned before earlier on when you talked about Chris Jericho, you need some type of credibility. You need people, you need, like, you know, when you're building a good team, right? You need your rookies, you need your veterans. And I think what this does, Jeff, is that, you know, this opens the supposed door for so many other talents out there now that aren't discovered. They're so good right now that they don't have the opportunity to go to NXT or go to the WWE. But now they have a door like AEW if they can't get into Ring of Honor. And we haven't talked about this too, and we'll probably talk about it a little bit later on, if not next episode now, in terms of who knows when the negotiations have gone through with Ring of Honor and New Japan, in terms of that's another way of collaborating talent and allowing some of the younger guys have opportunities. And, you know, that's how you slowly build a company, I feel. You have to have that veteran leadership to build that good foundation. And then from there, eventually when the time comes, and hopefully it's a long time from 5 years, that we no longer see the Young Bucks or Cody or SCU, and the list goes on, that the younger talent brings itself back up and the newer stars are born. So that's the hope, I think, for AEW. But they built a good foundation.
Well, 5 years from now, I still want to see the Young Bucks and Cody, though. But trendsetter.
At five years from now, I want, you know, I don't want any hairs in my white hairs in my beard. But, you know, it's going to happen, Jeff.
I really think that the WWE has really been, like I said, it's been the machine, right? And the Attitude Era has been amazing, but I have never seen anything like this. When we started this show, when we started this podcast forum and then the YouTube channel, it's amazing how it's evolved, right? We've gone from that to the YouTube, to everything else, to the website.
To the videos.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I'm mentioning YouTube. It's amazing to me. I've never thought in my mind that the wrestling business would boom like it is today. If you had told me when we started talking about WWE, and then we really were maybe sprinkling in a little bit of New Japan and Ring of Honor when we had to an Impact Wrestling or TNA back then, I never would have thought that wrestling would have been this huge, that another company is actually going to be eventually down the road could be a competitor to the WWE. We've always wanted that WCW, WWE war, that Monday Night War, right? And we haven't really had anything come close to it. We've had some things, you know, on and off, but never really something a factor. I'm not asking for AEW to compete right now. They don't want to do that. They want to get their own identity.
Nor
their own
can they compete
company,
with
nor
them.
Can they compete. But you were talking to this to a lot of our guests. If one day there could be competition, and if you have a guy, a billionaire, that's going to invest his money, that's going to put a TV network deal in place, that's going to get the roster, I got to tell you this, trendsetter, the first impression is always the one thing you remember. And what a tremendous impression it left on me watching this, from the introductions to Chris Jericho. It just, everything is well-timed. They know the business. And, you know, Tony Khan, we'll see what he does, man. He's a wrestling fan. And I think when you put it into wrestling fans' hands, I think that's the best way you can do it. And I think that the fans there were part of history. We just watched history. And like you said, man, perception is reality. And if you're a wrestler that you're not happy with your contract with WWE and you want to go someplace that's legit, that you were like wondering first, let me check it out first, you got to admit, this was the first great impression made by AEW.
Great impression. But if you ask Cody, your perception isn't reality anymore. Reality is reality. And the reality of the situation, Jeff, is you're right. All those great points you made. And the thing I think it's different from this compared to, you know, we talk about other promotions is that, you know, and, you know, a lot of the talent kind of alluded to it, but it is kind of true. Sometimes you have certain individuals who have known nothing about the business itself, who have never taken a bump in their life. Not that they need to, but have no idea of what the industry is all about, trying to give you direction and tell you what to do. As opposed to, you know, the fans are dictating it to him now. The fans are the bosses of all the talent on the roster type scenario. So it's minds that are in wrestling are controlling a wrestling company, which hasn't happened that often. I'm not going to be the one here, Jeff, to stand up here and say that AEW's on their road to now compete one-on-one directly with WWE. No, but I have said, and you pointed to this, I have said that it seems now more than ever, and when we look back, Jeff, at the beginning when we first started to do the High Spot podcast, nor did we ever think, at least in my wildest dreams, we'd be talking about anything else but the WWE. But in this sense, I was a firm believer. We had several writers and guests and even talent on the show thinking, no, WWE's never getting knocked down. True. Maybe not in 5, 10, 15, say 20 years down the road. But this is a long-term deal that they expect to be here in 20 years from now. Hopefully we're still here 20 years from now. I think that's a legitimate argument to make that if people are collaborating together and working together, why can't there be another company out there? Not necessarily competing, but to give you that alternative now. Now there's so many options to choose from, of course. You go to so many types of promotions. But that big scale one that's going to be known globally like WWE. I think this is a great step in the right direction. And one final thing, and I'll make this short, is that even our good friend Dave LaGreca, who's host of Busted Open on SiriusXM, who one day hopefully will come on this show, he just even mentioned it to me one time when I spoke to him. I believe this was at StarCast, and he never thought in his wildest dreams, too, that when he first started his show, and it's been successful, and that's why it's successful.
10 years in April.
Exactly. It's been 10 years, congratulations to him and all success. But he never thought, too, he mentioned to me that when he tried to bring up other subjects like Ring of Honor and TNA at that time, nobody wanted to talk about it. All they wanted to talk about was WWE. It was very frustrating for him. And now, all everybody wants to talk about is anything else but WWE. So it's definitely a cool dynamic when you think about it, especially when we started and what's gone on in 2018 and what 2019 has in store for us as well.
I still think more people like calling in and complaining about WWE and their booking, but you're right, though. I do think that turning point of wanting to talk about Cody, the Young Bucks, New Japan, Ring of Honor, Impact, I think it's coming and I think it's arrived.
Who ever thought we'd do preview shows for Ring of Honor and New Japan and post shows for those as well? We thought we'd only just do WWE, so it's definitely a different world now, Jeff.
And again, that new world kind of started this week with the announcement, now the formal announcement of All Elite Wrestling. So we got so much to talk about. When we come back, we're going to talk about Kenny Omega and what he means to AEW and his future. Also, we're going to talk about the future of New Japan, Ring of Honor, and their partnership, and how AEW right now, and how maybe getting Kenny Omega is going to affect that relationship. But first and foremost, we want to start our Collar and Elbow interview of the week, and our first interview of 2019 is with Alicia Atoute from Impact Wrestling and Ambi. She's very successful at what she does, all the way to the fact that now she's doing backstage interviews for Impact Wrestling, and it's a really good interview transferred with Alicia Atoute.
Oh, and amazing. You know, this is somebody that I've always wanted to have on the show. It's great to be at an opportunity. I give credit, although I hate doing this, to Jeff for being able to make this happen as well, because her story is very similar to what we're doing here. We're just fans of wrestling. We live vicariously through what we see on TV, what we see via, you know, YouTube or anything like that. And Alicia's been a proven example, too, of somebody who's just very passionate, very genuine of what she wants to do. And you've seen her successes. And in a corny, cheesy way, we kind of feel like we're having that same success along with her because she's one of the fans. She is one of us. So it's great sit down with Alicia, get a little insight in terms of what brought her into loving the world of professional wrestling, music, and how she's collaborating both music and wrestling in a very unique way that not a lot of people are doing.
All right, folks, without further ado, here is our interview with Alicia Atoute. All right, Trendsetter, what an amazing interview we have lined up. We have the first interview of our show here for 2019. We're talking to Alicia Atoute from Impact Wrestling, of course, her blog, music video blog, Ambi. What is going on? How are you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Hey, guys, thank you so much for having me on. I am stoked to be here. And as far as what's going on, I just finished watching some telly. Now I'm laying on the couch talking to two awesome dudes. So I'm excited.
Well, obviously you're not talking about Jeff here. What was on the telly?
So my sister recently got me into RuPaul's Drag Race, and I had no idea what this whole thing was about, but it is just ridiculous.
It's about cars, like, right?
America's Got Talent on crack, and it's so weird but enticing. So I've only seen one episode, but there's probably going to be more on the horizon for me.
She sounds like she's hooked, Jeff. She really does.
Yeah, she looks like she's going to binge watch these shows now. Mm-hmm. So, Alicia, it is 2019. We're in the first weeks of it. And you had an amazing 2018. Just want to reflect a little bit and look back at 2018 and just how good a year it was for you.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. 2018 was the year where my YouTube channel started to blow up quite a bit for wrestling. I had made a name for myself when it comes to my music interviews, but the whole wrestling aspect really started to pick up for me, not only because of my own videos and traveling to a ton of different promotions, but I started working with Impact Wrestling, which was a blast. I still do all of their Canadian dates. And other than that, I was part of All In, which was one of the best experiences of not only 2018, but my life. And everything just picked up. And it really set up a lot of things for the course of 2019. I started doing more conventions and a lot more signings. So it was just amazing.
It must be really surreal for you. I mean, and when you look at the comparisons of what you start with music and wrestling, the two are pretty close when you correlate them too, because there's such a dedicated fan base to music, depending on what type of music you like. I mean, there's just a dedicated fan base to that. And the same thing would go for professional wrestling as well.
Definitely. And the thing I found most is I would interview so many bands and they'd start making these little jokes. I remember these two brothers I interviewed, they started stone colding me and they just kept doing what, like over and over. And I don't think they realized I knew what they were doing. So they kept doing it. I let them play their little game. Then I realized, you know what? I'm going to say something. So I was like, dudes, I watch wrestling. I know you're pulling the one on me. And I made a couple of like stone cold references and it blew their minds. And so our interview went from talking music to just talking tons of wrestling stuff. And I found out that these like two brothers in the band, it was a band called the Lemon Twigs, but I found out that they are like massive wrestling fans. They have their own like wrestling gimmicks and stuff. And it just opened this whole new world to me. And so many bands would do that and talk wrestling, or so many of the heavier bands I'd interview would actually have NXT theme songs. So it just made sense. And of course, wrestlers love music. So why not do the crossover?
So, you're from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and there's a great amount of wrestling there. And so, you know, to be able to go out there and venture and go into doing these interviews, how did you at first, you know, starting this out, were you like, okay, how am I going to let them know that I'm doing this seriously so that the wrestlers know that, hey, this is something that's a professional interview. It's not just one of those, because anybody can go up to a mic and ask them questions. How did you begin for them to start to take you seriously?
Yeah, so as far as being taken seriously goes, I have really good gear. When I do my sit-down interviews, I have like a super pretty expensive HD camera. I have my microphones, my lights set up. Like, I come in prepared, and I do my research. And I think even if I come into an interview and someone sees me and they're like, ah, oh, this girly might not know so much, as soon as they sit down with me and we lock eyes and I turn on, you know, the professionalism, but I'm still myself, I think they start to realize, you know, she did her research. She came in here with a good attitude and she's not here to kind of expose any bad side to me, because a lot of people are just in it for the headlines or the dirt. And, you know, I just go in it to have fun. And I think people respect that. And there's that trust that's built between myself and my guests and my fans. And yeah, my main purpose for interviews is to have fun with it. And I think people have seen that, and that's kind of what I'm known for now. So,
you know, Alicia, what I enjoy so much about your interviews, and I've caught a lot of them on YouTube, and you guys can check them out as well. They're greatly done. And what I enjoy most about them is it's a nice flow. It's basically a conversation. It's kind of something similar to what Jeff and I do. We don't really want to bring people on and have like an interview asking you questions 1 through 10. It's really just having a conversation, talking about it. And something that I've tried to always portray is, like you said, professionalism, but there's always been those moments, I want you to share that with me, where there have been that one person I'm interviewing or a group of people, and, you know, I'm such a huge fan at heart that the inside of me is going crazy and the whole side of me is like, be as professional as possible. You don't want to blow this. Has that ever happened for you? I could imagine, I can take a guess maybe. Could it be Chris Jericho is the one you interviewed and you're like, you're fangirling
yes.
The entire time?
Totally, because like I was a not was I'm a huge Chris Jericho fan.
Who isn't? And,
exactly. Jericho, Mick Foley, Tito Santana, Tommy Dreamer. Like these are all guys where when I sat down with them, I freaked out. The Young Bucks every time, even though like I know the guys and I see them at shows and you know we talk on and off. Every time I see them, I'm in awe. Like, oh, these two are the best. Like, I'm so inspired by them. Same goes for Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega. Like, that whole Elite crew I adored a bit. But, yeah, it happens so often. And sometimes it's just your inner fan coming out. I think that's why we do this. We're not just starting some podcast because we want, like, fame or we want to just, you know, be out there. It's because I want to talk to the people I loved growing up or the people I love now. And luckily it works out and you can just shoot the breeze and have a really good time doing so. And you can totally geek out inside, but as long as you don't make the person feel uncomfortable, you're good to go.
Now on your Twitter, you have the pinned tweet of you and Kenny Omega. So you've interviewed him before. And then at All In too, that's from All In, that picture. Just your thoughts though on what makes him, you're a wrestling fan, so I want to get your wrestling knowledge here. What makes him such a coveted free agent that, you know, when this interview will come out, we don't know if he'll be AEW, WWE. What makes him so
sought after
by all the wrestling companies out there?
Not only is he a spectacular wrestler, like I'm absolutely captivated by him every time he's in the ring. So just the wrestling alone, he has this, I'm trying to think of the word, like without sounding cheesy, he has this like essence to him. He walks into a room, he's just effortlessly cool. He stands out from everybody else. Even in the way he does his promos, he has this cadence where he talks slow, but he has you. You're like waiting for every single word that he says and you're like, oh, where's this going? And then he gets there and you're like, oh, that was so good. Like he's an amazing performer and a great entertainer, and he kicks ass in the ring. I mean, I really think he's the full combo when it comes to that.
And just to add to that, Alicia, too, something I've taken from Kenny Omega, has been one of my favorite wrestlers as well. You said the aura about him, right? Just one of the nicest guys,
that is the
seems.
The aura. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, one of the nicest guys and so kind and so humble at heart, it seems, that, you know, he appreciates people talking. I remember saying to him real quick, side
story,
very
humble too,
how much
right?
I appreciate what he does. This was in New Orleans for Supercard of Honor. And he said to me, thank you, man. I really appreciate that. I don't get that enough. And just from him saying that, I really felt like he meant it. And he comes very sincere when you talk to him. But the other thing, too, you talk about the cadence. He reminds me of a Brian Pillman. Really ahead of his time when it comes to interviews, and also like a Jake Roberts, where he doesn't have to speak loudly, he just talks slowly, and you actually want to wait and hear him speak.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And it's funny, because whether I'm doing promos with him, or it's just saying hi backstage, or one night a couple of the wrestlers and crew, including him and I, we went out to dinner after a show, and we just talked comic books for like 20 minutes, half an hour, and even then you're like, oh, what are his opinions on it? It's not like the star power, you're talking to this big guy in wrestling, it's just him as a person. He's really captivating and enticing, and I always enjoy whenever I'm around him, or as I mentioned before, like the Elite guys, they're all just genuine. That's what it comes down to in this business. I try to surround myself with really genuine and sweet people, and that's definitely him.
Obviously, them being humble, there's like a, like you said, aura, something that lures the fans to them, because it seems like they are.
No, I said aura, Jeff. Right?
Well, okay.
Come on, give me credit for God's sakes for at least something.
It seems like they're attainable. Like if you go to a fan fest, you go to a WWE thing, you're there, you can say hi, and then they push you because they have to move into the other person online, right? But if you're there at one of their signings, they make the time to talk to you. It's very personable.
You're not just a number to them.
Exactly. And so do you think that's one of the reasons why this AEW Elite Wrestling is going to be a success, because the fans can relate to them and that accessibility is still there for the fans?
Yeah, 100%. I think when people feel a connection to someone that goes beyond what they do, they'll be invested in everything else that they do. I mean, look at the way that even the Rhodes couple have been able to expand themselves. Brandy has her YouTube channel, which is doing great. Cody just came out with the cigars, and those guys could put out anything and fans will eat it up. And it's not because fans are sheep. I think when it comes to those few, at least, it's because you want to support these really awesome guys who treat you well. Anytime I see them, they're always, oh, hey, how have you been? They give you hugs, and they actually care. And that speaks volumes to fans and people like myself.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us really appreciate what they go through because, you know, the Young Bucks, Marty, Cody, Brandy, Kenny, all these guys from the Elite and all these guys that do, you know, being the Elite, the YouTube series, kind of showcase themselves and really showcase who they really are. I mean, they love going to certain shows and doing performances, but they're not afraid to say, hey, I miss my family, or I'm not really feeling good right now, but I'm still looking pumped for it. So we as fans, I feel at least, appreciate even more the trials and tribulations they go through. And look, for example, talk about somebody being over. Look at Pharaoh. Even Pharaoh, the Rhodes family, is over. There was lines at All In for people wanting to see Pharaoh. How cool is that?
It's insane, and I have to say, like, Pharaoh was one of my highlights of 2018 because I got to interview Pharaoh, and it was the cutest thing ever, and I was interviewing Pharaoh, and I'm like, oh, so how's it feel knowing that your daddy, Cody, has a chance to win the NWA Championship tonight? And as soon as I said Cody, like, Pharaoh's ears went up, and he, like, looked around for his dad. It was so cute.
Pharaoh.
That's got to be one of your highest rated videos right there.
I got more nerves online for Pharaoh than Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi. That's how crazy it was. Alicia, you know, again, the success of your award-winning vlog music site and wrestling site, how important do you think it's been? Because you're always trying to find that next thing. So, like, you go to, you know, writing and reviewing stuff on, you know, online and people read about it. But how important do you think it's been for you for the visual aspect, for people to see actually what you're doing? You think that's the next progression for podcast, you know, someone who's doing YouTube and you're doing interviews? You think that's the next step?
I really do, and it's nothing against podcasts. I listen to them and I do them all of the time as far as being a guest goes, and I really enjoy it. But for me, I've always been such a visual person, and I love when I'm conversing with somebody and I can see when they're about to light up, or I can see when they're about to smile, or in some cases I can see when they're about to cry, and it really sets the mood, and fans love that. It makes you feel like they're even closer to the people that they idolize and the people that they love. So I think video is such a spectacular medium, and that's why I've even started doing these backstage vlogs at shows. I literally take my phone around, have a really great light, I plug in a Rode microphone into my phone, and I vlog at shows, and it's literally like the people I interview, these like wrestling stars, they're like an inch away from my face. You're crowded in these crazy backstage spots, and it's intimate, and fans love that, and they love seeing that, and they love seeing things that are spontaneous. So I think it adds a totally different element to things, and I feel like that's probably going to be the next wave as far as podcasts might take.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there, Alicia. That's the next thing, you know. As much as I enjoy doing interviews, audio, the aspect of it's cool and all, but, you know,
no one's hearing my voice for an hour, honestly.
No, neither do I, yeah. Jeff. But, you know, people love the visualization, whether it be a 7-minute video or a 20-minute video, to see the physical person there and the interaction, like you mentioned, is strictly important. That is the next step. But, you know, what I feel is a huge step, too, that's happened, and I've recently figured that out in 2018, and more now obviously will happen in 2019. You know, let's talk about social media here. What an amazing tool it is. It can obviously be used for negatives, but if you're using it for the right way, it can also be a huge positive tool for you, because now you have the ability, we have the ability of putting our products out there, our way of people listening to us. But more importantly, when it comes to wrestling now, you look at being the Elite, you look at the Elite itself, them becoming stars using social media to their advantage. And now when you see superstars, you know, young up-and-comers coming into the industry, it just seems like such an exciting time. Would you say right now the tools like social media is the best way of branding yourself as a professional wrestler, as a musician, or even as a host like yourself? You need to master those tools in order to be successful.
100%. I think that social media is the reason, aside from hard work, it's the reason that my site's gone to the point that it has. There is something about somebody saying, oh, hey, I like this, or being able to reach out to someone and make connections so much easier than having to. Could you imagine if it was like years back where you would have to, let's say you wanted to interview someone and you'd have to write them a letter, then you'd send the letter, then you'd wait, oh, has it even got to them yet? And you have to wait for a letter back to organize something, or like even phone calls, like it's just not as personable. It's strange now how shooting a text to someone gets their attention more than a phone call. Aside from that little rant, yeah, social media has helped me so much. The way that fans reach out and you can see the things that they love is great, not just for analytics, but just connecting with people. I've really based my entire site on connecting with people, whether it's writing fans back or tweeting really personal stuff to connect with them. I've never, ever held back from fans. And I think that's where the level of trust builds. And because that level of trust is there on social media, that level of trust blends into my interviews. And that's kind of how they know what kind of person I am. So it's like the best marketing tool you could possibly have right now.
I mean, look what it's done. I mean, you're doing what you love to do for Impact Wrestling, one of the top companies out there now. And talk about, for example, that Homecoming. And I don't know if you obviously do the stuff in Canada, but did you have a chance to see Homecoming and just your thoughts? Because now you have a power couple in, you know, Johnny Impact and Taya that are now, you know, the Knockouts champion and the world champion. Just your thoughts on that. And did you get a chance to see Homecoming?
Yes, so I was not there for Homecoming, but they did send me a live stream. So I was able to get a code and watch it as it was live. And I thought it was a really good pay-per-view. I had a lot of friends who were on it, so that was super exciting. Of course, I'm like really close with a lot of people just from working with them over the last year. And seeing that both of them now hold the top championships, I mean, when you think of in promotions, a lot of the time it's like, okay, here's the male, here's the female. That was super cool. I adore those two. Johnny was like one of my favorite wrestlers growing up, so even getting to work with him has been super crazy. But seeing him as champ, seeing her now have it, I don't think that's been done.
Not that I can remember.
You need to see.
Yeah.
You see a lot of first-timers or first-time things that don't, you know, generally happen. And you think in the world of professional wrestling, there's a lot of things that have happened. It's all repetitive. That's a pretty interesting dynamic to have right there with Johnny and Taya. So it's really cool. Alicia, what I wanted to ask you too is that you touched base on it too in terms of when I asked you the last question where it's like, you know, you having fans. Is that a surreal thing for you right now? Because you've obviously been successful through hard work and using the tools in front of you. But when you go to places like All In, it's StarCast, and you see people there, and they recognize
you. And
you're
the one that they come up to, and they're like, "Hey, can we take a
picture?"
And
they want to take a picture with you. They want to talk to you. What type of experience is that like for you as a fan growing up watching this and loving music and wrestling, and now people within that same capacity, not just the talent within the industry, but the fans of it are now appreciative of you?
Yeah, it gets me really emotional, especially because I am a fan. Like, I'm a massive wrestling fan. So when I'm at signings and conventions and shows, and even when I'm at music shows and like people recognize me in venues, or I've been in malls and airports and people come up to me and I'm like, oh my gosh, are you sure you got like the right person? It's so surreal to me. It just means that I've had that kind of effect on somebody and they care. The fact that people care about what I'm doing means everything to me. Like, not to get too serious, but I mean, last night, for instance, I shared something online where I unfortunately had to put my dog down, who I've had for 13 years. And I just, after a couple hours of kind of letting it sink in, I posted something online, and the amount of support and the hundreds, if not like 1,000 messages I got from my fans just to build me up and say, hey, things are okay, sending our condolences. It speaks volumes. Like, hey, I'm not just here to watch your content and like your videos. Like, I care about you as a person. And it meant so much to me. So having that connection with people, just bringing it back. It's a really surreal thing, but I'm thankful for every single person who likes, says hello, watches my content, just anyone who cares. Like, it means a lot.
Who's been your biggest influence since you started this? Because obviously it's a passion of yours. Can you, whether it's parent, teacher, sibling, can you recall like who's been your most influential person to date?
Yeah, definitely my parents. They've pushed me since like I was little. I mean that in the best of ways. If there was something I was passionate about, they were like, yes, do it, go for it. And that's always been so amazing to have their support. My family, like, we still go to concerts together, wrestling shows. My dad comes to most of them with me because he's the reason I got into wrestling. Like, I've been watching with him since I was 2 or 3. So he like films a lot of my videos because we'll be at shows together anyways, so it's like he's my cameraman half the time. It's just, we're so tight-knit, my family, and if it weren't for them telling me, hey, you like this, it's cool to like this, go after it, I would not be where I am. So yeah, they're 100% my biggest supporters and influences. I appreciate everything they've done for me.
you hit a nerve really with me in terms of, like, you said your dad kind of got you into it since you were 2 years old. I can remember, since I could remember, maybe 4 or 5, but I was watching wrestling on TV. We said the antennas and you said to turn the dials. That's how old I am right now. And I'm dating myself here. Just stop laughing. It's not a funny thing. But, you know, it's amazing how, like, you go through these progressions of being a fan of watching wrestling, right? And as we get older, I like to say not older, but as we mature, we start appreciating more as professional wrestling as the entertainment factor that it is. At what point did you start, or let me rephrase this again, what's the same element from watching it as a kid to now that you still hold on to, that's still very true to the reason why you love professional wrestling?
I think it's just the pure excitement and being at the edge of your seat while you're watching something. The day that goes away, I don't think I should be interviewing or watching wrestling anymore, because what's the point? And I don't see that going away by any means, but it's just the...
Is it the characters? Is it the storylines that intrigue you that you're like, I'm so emotionally invested into?
Because, Leisha, I'm about the storyline. I can get invested. You just can't put a match out there. I need to be invested in the storyline. There's some storylines, like, for example, Omega and Okada, that storyline that each match was told a different story in the ring. You know, just top storylines. Like, what do you think it is for you?
Yeah, for me, it's always the people. As soon as I have a connection with somebody, whether it's music or wrestling, I find I dive into everything they've put out there. I watch everything, their catalog, and I'm just invested in people. And if I happen to like the people, most likely I end up liking their work. So that's always been the case for me. I mean, we mentioned Jericho earlier. I remember my first memories of him were probably, I think it was actually Y2J, to be honest with you, because I remember watching that with my dad. But seeing him, I was like, oh my gosh, who is this guy? He's so, like, he's so out there. And I was captivated. He's so... he's like moody, but he's catty and he's witty, and it captivated me right away. And there's so many characters like that in wrestling where I want to learn more about them and I'm enticed. So yeah, it's definitely character driven for me, and good storylines always help.
You know what I enjoy so much about your interviews, and especially, like, let's talk about Chris Jericho, right? A guy who's done an amazing job of reinventing himself and always thinking ahead of never doing the same thing twice, and just having this longevity of not just being a professional wrestler, but being a musician. He's gone on times in his books talking about how he wanted to be a rock star and a wrestler, and he made that happen for himself. Obviously, he had help along the way, but he went for his goals and he went after him and he got him. But what I like about your interviews, though, and what Jeff and I try to do, too, when we have certain guests in town on the show, is that you bring the humanistic side of it. And I think for the longest time, people are always kind of worried about kayfabe. You know, do you really want to expose more of the industry than it really is? I mean, I think we were all smart enough, not smart marks, but smart enough to realize what's going on. But I think when you invest in the person itself and you kind of can relate to them as an individual of the hardships or some of the successes they've gone through, that just makes them more relatable, like you said, that you want to kind of, you're rooting for them, whether they're a good guy or a bad guy, you root for them to succeed.
That's exactly it. I used to watch a lot of interviews, even before I started interviewing, actually, and it would be the same questions every time, or you could just see it in the person's face that they weren't interested in what they were talking about. So I decided to really put tons of research into my interviews and just make them fun for myself as well. One thing I've discovered, and fans always find it so funny when I say this, but wrestlers half the time don't want to talk about wrestling unless they really have something to promote. Most of the time they want to talk about music or TV shows or random little facts that I've stalked online and discovered that they like. So those types of things, they really just bring out their happiness. And, you know, who doesn't love talking about things they love? So I've definitely tried to take that approach. And I think that's why fans enjoy the interview so much, because there's that human element. You get to learn about people other than them just being these stars.
2019 to you, when you're looking now forward to in wrestling, one thing and one thing in music that you're looking forward to here in 2019?
Ooh, okay. Wrestling, AEW. The press conference is on right now, and I'm so excited to see all the announcements pour through. I think that's going to be amazing, and I am dying to be involved somehow, so that'd be really cool. And then as far as music goes for me, in 1 week, I am going to be on a plane to the Netherlands. I'm going to Europe for the first time for a festival called ESNS Festival, and it's a festival where they showcase tons of local European talent. So they're flying me out to that, and I'm going to be able to experience it for 5 days. It's going to be absolutely incredible. So I think I'm kicking my year off pretty cool, and I can't wait for those two things when it comes to music and wrestling.
Wow. I mean, a lot on your plate there right from the get-go in terms of, you know, it'll be a successful trip. Being to Europe for the first time, it's enjoyable. Alicia, I want to ask you this. You know, when we think about the new year, right, 2018's ended. We're now in 2019. So many things to look forward to, right? You kind of addressed this a little bit too while you were talking earlier on here, but have you had a chance to sit back and really appreciate everything you've done? Because I know a lot of people who are very goal-oriented, much like yourself and you're a hard worker, are very driven, but sometimes don't have a chance to kind of look back in the rearview mirror and appreciate the things and the goals they've done. Like, for example, what you've done for All In, all the stuff you've done in music. Have you had a chance to reflect a little bit and appreciate the ride rather than worry so much about, you know, the destination you need to get to?
It's really interesting you say that, because I often don't reflect until a week or a month later, because you're always go, 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 and it's hard to take things in. But there were a lot of moments last year where something cool happened and you just could feel that it was cool. You were part of something special, be that Impact Slammiversary, or which was my first pay-per-view to host ever, or being at All In. Like, it just felt special, and there were definitely a lot of tears shed both those nights because they were really important to me. But I usually am the type of person where it takes about a week and then I'm like, oh my gosh, I did that. That's pretty badass, you know?
You know, Alicia, as we're talking right now, one of your really good friends, MJF, is taking the mic to talk about MJF and his and his future. It's really bright, man. I know you guys have exchanged some words on your YouTube channel. Just talk about MJF a little bit.
You can tell by the tone of her voice, she's really happy about this one.
He's disgusting. He is so mean. Like, as soon as I see his face, I'm just like, oh, you're such a douche. He's just one of those people where, I mean, his whole moniker is I'm better than you, and you know it. I mean, if that doesn't scream, I can curse on here, right?
Yeah.
I don't let anything slip, but if that doesn't scream asshole, then I don't know what does. He's never been nice to me. He tried to kick me in the crotch once, but I didn't let it happen. And the second time he tried, I luckily was able to sweep his leg away and kick him in, you know, his man parts. But he's just not nice. He doesn't treat anyone well, and I can't stand the guy. I spent my New Year's Eve with Beyond Wrestling for Powerbomb TV, and it was amazing. I was so happy to ring in the new year, and what better way than with wrestling? And he was there, that was not pleasant. But
that ruined the New Year's for her right there.
So you're doing Last Time in Canada, you're doing Impact. Now you're making your way down to the Northeast. Talk about like Beyond Wrestling and stuff, because I think that's the first time you're doing stuff for them.
So I worked for Beyond. Okay. I think it might have been in July, maybe. But it was my second time working for them, and it is such an amazing crowd. And it wasn't because it was New Year's Eve and like people were, you know, drinking and stuff. It's just both times I was there, their crowds are so hot the entire time, and the talent they bring in is awesome. And they always have these really interesting types of matches. The last one I was at was a fans bring weapons match, and it was absurd. It was amazing. It was Josh Briggs facing Nick Gage, so you can imagine how intense that was.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's a great crowd, and I just love working for them, and hopefully there's going to be more partnerships with them in the future.
So now, Alicia, I must throw something your way too, because we're all wrestling fans, like you said. Jeff and I, we live vicariously through all the people we've met, Cody, Kenny, the list goes on and on, Chris Jericho, I can continue, but then I'd be out of breath and this podcast would be over. But when it comes to you, let's say you became one of the female wrestlers out there, right? And this is going to be funny, Jeff. Now I'm throwing a question right back at Alicia. She asks all the talent. If you were a performer in the ring, what band would you have play your theme music coming out? See, like what I did there, Jeff?
Like what you did there.
Steel Panther or Kiss.
She's thought about this.
Yeah.
No, I just know which bands would be so cool. Steel Panther would write me something totally bitchin', and you would just come out and people would just be enthralled. They'd be like, oh, I have to know who this chick is. And Kiss, because they're so iconic, and I'd have to come up with flames and some cool makeup. Yeah, those would be some really cool choices.
Very nice.
She is Alicia Atout. You can follow her on Twitter and Instagram at Alicia Atout. I love that because it's just your name. It's nothing crazy with an underscore, exclamation point, anything like that. It's just basic and simple, you know? I love it. No nickname, anything. It's just straight up her name. She is the interview queen. Of course, Ambi, the award-winning creator and owner of Ambi. And, of course, you can see her Impact Wrestling as well. And, she'd probably be in AEW soon, too, so you never know. Listen, thank you so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. And, listen, I also do not like Drake. And, yes, I'm a fan of Swedish Fish as well. So
now, who isn't?
Listen, I don't like Drake. You know why? I don't like Drake because he's such a front runner when it comes to his sports teams. I know he's a Raptors fan, but like that, you know, wearing Alabama stuff the other day, and you know, a Kentucky Wildcat fan. I mean, come on now. I mean, don't be a front runner. I hate front runners, Alicia.
Well, now you know why I don't like you, Jeff. Seriously. But Alicia, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. I must say this for me, I can speak for Jeff on this point, that we are admirers of your work. We know the work that you put into it. That's the same thing Jeff and I are trying to do, and we appreciate it because it gives us the motivation to continue doing what we're doing too. And at the same time, you know, we're so happy the success that you're dealing with and going to have in 2019. So well deserved from you because you definitely earned it.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you, guys. I was so excited about this podcast, and I'm really excited that we were able to make it happen. So thank you for the kind words, the great questions, and hopefully we can do something like this again soon.
Look, if you're ever in New York, New Jersey, we'll definitely look out for you, Alicia. Thank you so much. And again, best of luck to you in 2019.
Thank you. Same to you guys.
All right, Trendsetter, that was the Collar and Elbow Interview of the Week. It is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion. Check out the entire winter fashion line, including brand new long sleeve shirts and hoodies. You got to go to collarandelbowbrand.com. Save 10% on your entire online purchase by entering promo code HighSpotPodcast, all in caps. And again, thanks to Alicia Atout from Impact Wrestling and Ambi. Check it out. Follow her on Twitter at Alicia Atout. So definitely looking forward to seeing her down the road. Hopefully we can connect in the future, maybe during Mania weekend. You don't know. But Trendsetter, going back to AEW All Elite Wrestling now, our boy Cassidy Haynes hit it on the bullseye, Trendsetter. He first reported that Kenny Omega would be turning that down, WWE's offer, and joining AEW All Elite Wrestling. A lot of people still don't know what's going on, but I'm going to believe our boy Cassidy here, bodyslam.net. Check them out. A great wrestling news site. Something that we're a part of too with our articles and our podcast. So Trendsetter, now here we go. Kenny Omega, do you think he's all in AEW?
I believe so too. I mean, it's fun to think the fact that he might join WWE and the scenarios that might go along with it. But if you were to ask me this 2 years ago, I'd say, oh, it's not a question. He should go to WWE. It's the biggest stage out there, which it is. It is the biggest stage and the biggest platform to be on if you're a professional wrestler. But just internally for me, when I think of Kenny Omega and everything he's done in the world of wrestling, what he's done when he's performed for Ring of Honor, what he's done in the Supercards, what has he done for New Japan Pro Wrestling, how he's carried, in my opinion, most people might not like the reign he had as IWGP Heavyweight Champion. I'm probably in that same category. I thought it was kind of a little underused too, but still, he reached the goal, the pinnacle of what he wanted to accomplish in New Japan, be the champion, be the face of the company, and all his great successes there. I just don't think that, combined with WWE, is a good marriage.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work.
Square
it's not
peg
a good
and
fish.
Around. What is it? It's a round.
A round circle, a square peg with a round.
Yeah,
circle,
something like that.
I failed in geography, Jeff. I'm sorry.
It's
okay,
not geography, dude. It's shapes and.
Wasn't that part of geography, angles and shapes too?
No, that's geometry, my brother.
Oh, geometry. Oh, yes. Well, you can tell I'm on 2 hours sleep right now. But now you're creating your own language, and I'm creating my own types of.
It's not a good fit, though. It's not a good fit. Trendsetter, as much as we like the WWE and you love to see great matches against AJ Styles, of course, that's the big one, and maybe Shinsuke and maybe Finn Balor and, Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns, hopefully he comes back, a Brock Lesnar, maybe. As much as those matches are out there, there's still great matches to be had outside of WWE, and that is why it just made total sense. I mean, his friends are there. He wants to change the world, now the universe, and the right spot is AEW. And looking at this first YouTube impression here is amazing, and I think he's making the right decision. It was the only decision to me for Kenny Omega, and now
if he makes that decision, because we still
I believe I've listen Gun to your head right now. Where is he going?
I think AEW.
Okay, so we're gonna believe Cassidy here. That's why I had the cojones here to go out there yesterday and put it out on our Twitter that Kenny Omega is going to AEW. So we're going to just take Cassidy for his word. He's very reliable, and that's where he's going to go, and I still feel it in my bones that that's where he's going to go. But now, Trendsetter, New Japan has this thing where they have a great working relationship with Ring of Honor. I don't know what the contract is, but I do have a feeling that if New Japan really wants Kenny Omega that badly enough, they're willing to spurn Ring of Honor after the G1 Supercard at MSG. I don't care even if they sold out MSG together. I think that the allure, that aura that we talked about with Alicia before, I think that is too much that New Japan wants in Kenny Omega that they're willing to spurn Ring of Honor.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, and work with AEW, but if that's the case, though, I don't know if it... Okay, from that standpoint, yeah, it would make sense, of course, if you're that high and think of Kenny Omega as a high commodity. I mean, why wouldn't you? He's probably one of the biggest free agents next to the last time I saw one of the hottest free agents out there.
Kenny Omega.
Was Chris Jericho, and this was back in 99, okay? This is the biggest buzz I've ever heard of a free agent in professional wrestling next to that. I'm not doing it because I kiss Chris Jericho's ass. I do that enough. But, you know, I don't understand, though, why the three can't work together, though. Because it only benefits all three of them to work collectively together. If you side one apart from the other, what does it do?
I think Trent said the reason is there's just too many pay-per-views, too many dates that somebody wants somebody. I understand if between two companies I want Kenny, but what if I want Kenny at Final Battle? What if I want Kenny at a next Double or Nothing or a Triple or Nothing or anything goes, and then New Japan's got their matches at the climax, and they want to use one match. Well,
I still think it's doable, you know why? Because you're not going to get, it's true. You're not going to get Kenny Omega or Young Bucks at a Wrestle Kingdom. But you know what? You know what, New Japan? Develop your own stars and sell out that Tokyo Dome yourself. Or Ring of Honor, if your final battle card, have your own individual stars. You're not going to have Cody, or you're not going to have Kenny. Figure something else out. You'll have them collectively at times in certain moments, but you're not going to have them for your big shows because they have to worry about their own entities as well. Again, you want to share it, but you also want to have your own identity. That's why I think, theoretically, as complicated as you say it is, it could work, but you're right. It'll probably be something like New Japan going towards AEW or maybe Ring of Honor towards AEW and the other one kind of ousting the other.
Now, Kenny Omega's contract now, I believe, expires at the end of January. So he still, I don't believe, would have been able to go to the Rumble. Which I don't even think would have been the right idea if he were to debut in WWE and put him in the Rumble. It's kind of predictable. You kind of want to go against the grain. But listen, he's not going to the WWE. So now, here you go, Trendsetter. Like I said, is it worth spurning a relationship, though? A partnership that they've done for 5-6 years that they've been working together for one guy?
Well, I answered your question. Yes, it's worth it if you're trying to... You know, jump on this momentum train that's going for AEW, then yes, because if you're willing to do that, then you're willing to commit long-term, not just to Kenny Omega, but to what the whole philosophy is of AEW. So yes, it makes sense from a business standpoint. Will it happen? I don't know. I'm not the owner of New Japan. I'm not the president. I'm not the president of Ring of Honor.
Listen,
what's your case on this? Do you think it's worth it?
You know what? It's amazingly...
Sometimes you have to burn bridges.
That's what's going to have to happen. And you don't want them to burn bridges because the best thing is for these companies to work together. That's why wrestling has taken such a boom in the last year. So I really think that I would not want them to, you know, have a non-working relationship. But if you have to make a business decision and you feel that working with Kenny Omega is the best decision, then you know what? You have to go with it. You know, you have to go with it. And I really believe at the end of the day, you wish that it wouldn't happen, but... it looks like they're willing to spurn Ring of Honor for it. And here's where I go. Ring of Honor has Sinclair. Sinclair really hasn't invested a lot till recently, where they had to make some signings because of the loss of the Cody and the Young Bucks and Hangman Page, right? You got PCO, you got Bandido, you've got Brody King and Mark Haskins. For Impact Wrestling, they're making strides. Had a great homecoming, which was, you know, congratulations to Johnny Impact and Taya Valkyrie, the power couple in Impact Wrestling. But now they're going from Pop TV and they're going to Pursuit Channel, which they're losing viewers. And they have New Japan, who, let's be honest, yes, there's a bunch of sellouts for their American shows, and the G1 Climax is going to kick off in Dallas. But let's be honest, though, there has been... a lax attitude of New Japan coming into the United States as of recently. So they need to get that kickstarted. And now you have a company in AEW that's going to get the funding, that's on a huge momentum run, that could literally take that number two position by the end of 2019.
Yeah, that's a possibility. But again, like you mentioned before, if New Japan wants to continue that cross-branding and work its way across to the United States, then their best opportunity, they don't have Kenny Omega anymore. They don't have the Young Bucks. They don't have Cody or Hangman or Marty Skrull. They could have Marty in terms of the relationship with the Ring of Honor and New Japan right now, currently. But at the same time, if you want to continue that bridge is only best served when you're working with AEW. So, yeah, no, I get it. They all have their own agendas to deal with, but it just depends on who's willing to, you know, fire that first proverbial shot and burn the bridge first before the other one does.
I really believe Impact Wrestling has the best shot to work with AEW right now because they're willing. Scott D'Amore and Don Callis are friends with Chris Jericho. I could see a match there for now. And New Japan, I could really see things turning because right now they're going to work with the Ring of Honor. They've chosen to side with Ring of Honor. But if things kind of sour by April after the G1 Supercard, I could see things change in Trendsetter. But what a historic week it's been, man. Let's give credit to Wrestle Kingdom, man. That was an amazing event. And listen, for you guys that wake up at 3 a.m. to do it, God bless you. You guys are not marks. You guys are true wrestling fans, and we love you for it. I mean, Tanahashi, Kenny Omega was amazing. Will Ospreay and Ibushi was amazing. All the other matches were tremendous. Jay White, Okada, just really tremendous wrestling offered to you by New Japan on Friday. Then you had Homecoming, and give shout-out to LAX, man. LAX kicking ass, continuing to be that top team in Impact Wrestling. One of the reasons why you watch Impact Wrestling in LAX, and again, congratulations to Johnny Impact.
And sorry, not just say that to you, but one of the reasons, and this stuff about LAX, not only why you watch it, but why I love tag team wrestling. They are the epitome of what it is and how it's done and how well it's done. So congratulations goes out to LAX.
Yeah, and bringing back Ultimate X Division, the Monsters Ball match between Eli Drake and Abyss was tremendous. Man, had to bite my nails on some of those moves too. But again, congratulations to Rich Swann, the new X Division champ. But Trendsetter, let me catch my breath. Amazing week in professional wrestling, and AEW closes the week. And listen, At no point right now do we mention WWE, and they're 3 weeks away from the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, they're three weeks away from the Royal Rumble. They're still building anticipation, which is kind of, you know, I shake my head and I'm kind of like, really, we're 3 weeks away, and right now we're still trying to build anticipation for the Rumble. They're started, but I think it's starting a little late. We'll see what happens as the weeks lead into it, but you know, the Go Home show is really the start of what we call WrestleMania season. So regardless of how the card's going to present itself at the Royal Rumble, once we're there and it's over, we'll have a good idea in terms of the road to WrestleMania.
I mean, what are you going to break down? What are you going to break down? Brock Lesnar walking around the ring?
Oh, yeah, and the manner in which he walked, how fast did he walk, how did he look,
yeah,
the pace, the cadence of him, you know, all that's important.
And again, though,
he's being sarcastic.
It was a tremendous week, and though, Trendsetter, though, we did lose an amazing part of our childhood in Mean Gene Okerlund. Mm-hmm. I wanted to address that before we go. What can you say, man? As far as backstage interviewer, just personality, when you link Hulk Hogan there and you link Ric Flair to Mean Gene and everything he did with the AWA, WWE, WWF, WCW, just his contributions, the man was beyond talented, and definitely there will never, ever be another Mean Gene Okerlund. There's always imitations. They always fall short. But Mean Gene Okerlund, you were the epitome of an awesome broadcast announcer. And rest in peace, Mean Gene. One of my bucket lists was to meet you. I didn't get a chance to, so on the other side. But Mean Gene Okerlund, man, rest in peace. And here at the High Spot Podcast, we love everything you did. We love you, Mean Gene. And again, just sad to hear the news that Mean Gene Okerlund passed away.
Sad to hear the news. I think you've kind of hit it on the nail there in terms of everything you would want to say about Mean Gene Okerlund, but I'll say one more final thing. I also didn't get the chance to ever meet him. I did see him at those WrestleCon events. It was an honor, and I like to say maybe I was a little bit more bewildered and fanboying that I was kind of scared to approach him. But from everything you've heard since the time of his passing till currently now, everything has just been positive. It's been a celebration of a wonderful life, but more importantly, not just the amazing broadcast journalist he was in what he did, on the microphone and how he presented himself on the camera, Jeff. But more importantly than that, guys, is when you hear from everybody else that had a chance to interact with him, whether it be fan or talent, it's always been the same thing of how nice of a person he was.
And I'm pretty sure if Mean Gene was looking down at the Hogan tribute, he would have smiled. And if he was looking down in Jacksonville, of course he's from Sarasota, Florida. If he was looking down in Jacksonville, I'm pretty sure he'd be happy knowing that he's left the wrestling business on such a boom too. So here at the High Spot Podcast, Mean Gene, rest in peace. But Trendsetter, an amazing week. It's been wow. And we've got 50 more weeks left in 2019, Trendsetter.
Well, 51, though, wouldn't it be?
Well, 51? 50? 51 doesn't matter, Trendsetter. Thanks for correcting me on podcast as usual. But, man, looking forward to an amazing year, Trendsetter. And, again, thanks to Alicia Atoot so much. And we'll be back here next week, Trendsetter.
Yeah, hopefully. We're back here next week. And God knows what we'll be talking about. But we know you guys, the crew, will be listening to the High Spot Podcast next week. For the Jersey Red crew, my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, I am the trendsetter, Brian Berger, wishing you all adieu. Because remember, we do this for one reason and one reason only. We do this for you,
the crew. Change the world and the universe.